This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Hassan with my friend Sean Bowles. Sean, how are you today? And what do we got going on?
Well, I'm awesome. I love doing this show with you because we get to talk to the most amazing people and talk about some of the real topics that are happening in the marketplace right now that a lot of other places for Christians don't actually talk about these things or don't actually relate to each other about these things. But we need to crowdsource each other with what God's doing, and we're doing just that. And we're going to start the real topic today between you and I. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. Oh. Which is really cool. You actually brought this up, that we should be talking about the battle people face in their careers in the marketplace. Then we're going to go on to our main course. And we have the most amazing guest, Rebecca Contreras, who is from Austin, Texas. She was born into poverty by a drug addicted mother who abandoned her. But then, because of God, this is what she says, God led her from the ghetto to the White House to becoming a millionaire. And she owns a thriving company called Avant Garde. And she's just raising up people through their nonprofit and being a real voice. Her new book is out as well. And we're going to talk about that, but it's exciting. It's an exciting show.
Yeah. I can't wait. So we have some listener feedback. Do you want to hear what a listener said?
Always.
Okay. This is from Mendoza, 1969. Let me read this. Wow. This is an amazing podcast. I've just recently come out of one of the most traumatic seasons of my life and have questioned the calling and promises that God had spoken to me. I can't put into words how grateful I am to have found this podcast. I've sent it to so many of my friends and I'm extremely encouraged to not give up. Thank you.
Are you kidding me? This is so awesome. And I think this is exactly why we want to hear from people who are listening, because this show, and especially for the people who are sharing their souls, like our guests are sharing things that like they don't always share publicly, and this is the difference it's making, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about courage all the time, and this listener is just full of it. So thank you to our listener, Mendoza 1969, and to all of you out there, make sure to leave a comment, question, and interact with us on YouTube or our socials. We really want to hear from you.
And we have a new YouTube channel, so make sure to visit us on YouTube. Hit subscribe and hit notifications and join our conversation there. We want to hear from you and we'll be interacting with you there. It's not just assistants and team. We're going to be on there having conversations and you'll see us there. And we can't wait to see from you. But we have our real topics, Bob, starting right now. And our real topic today is about spiritual battle. Let's go on this journey. I love that you wanted to talk about this.
Okay. Yeah, this has been something that has been in my guts for going on 2 years now. And I want to focus on Ephesians 6. We're not going to read about, you know, the helmet and the feet and all the stuff. I want to focus on this. In the scripture, it says, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we battle against principalities and rulers of the air. And so many times we focus on the person or the issue, and we don't recognize that there's a spiritual battle. And what I want us to do is, I'd like to talk about this, Sean, is how can we recognize sooner that we're in a spiritual battle? That Aunt Mabel over there, who we think is the problem, isn't the problem. The enemy is the problem working through Aunt Mabel. And we now, and if there's any Mabels out there, please.
It's not about you.
It's not about you. but we have to focus on the fact that we're battling against the enemy. And this is why the scripture was written. And we have this spiritual component. The enemy's trying to rob, kill, and destroy. There's a verb in the scripture when it says that the enemy's actively scheming against us. When he says scheming, it's an active verb. So this is happening all the time to try to derail us from our calling.
Which is so funny to hear you talking about this, because I feel like you have a great sense of spiritual awareness, but you're also so practical. So there's those people who are like the intercessors. And I love intercessors, but the ones who are like, there's a demon behind everything. You know, we've all met one of those who's like an extreme form of intercession.
Yeah.
And then there's people who are like, actually a lot of humans sin, and there's a lot of problems because this company doesn't have the right culture or values. And so it's hard to work with them. And then in between that, there really is like, there's warfare. And I think I love hearing you talk about that, because I know you and I have both talked to people and consulted people and prayed for people out of seasons of warfare where they had to do what James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. They've had to look at betrayal or look at issues that are happening to cash performa, or they've had to look at issues with manufacturing or whatever it is and go, this is energized. This is not just normal problems. This is like, there's something on top of this that's making it like 10 times worse or 10 times harder. It's like walking through sludge. And usually people don't have enough spiritual awareness to recognize that God wants to help. Because usually the moment you recognize it, the moment you have some level of spiritual authority to pray. But if you're not recognizing it, you're just like, oh, I guess people are just bad then. Or I guess I'm just, maybe because I did something wrong, this is the result of it. And we allow ourselves to kind of trip out and not recognize the hand of God, but also the hand of the enemy trying to scheme. So I love that you wanted to talk about this, because I think it's so important.
Well, you know, for somebody who's practical, for somebody who's a risk manager, for somebody who's used to dealing with problems, it always gives me such great courage and hope when you say that, like, it's extra.
Yeah.
You're walking through sludge, because you tell me that all the time. And I'm like, oh yeah. Because for me, it's harder for me to recognize we're in a spiritual battle, because I'm capable and I'm practical. And so I'm trying to solve the practical problems. And I have to always step back and say, oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I know if I'm like that, there's other people out there like that, that might be in a situation right now that is debilitating, and they haven't taken the time to think this is, we're in a spiritual battle.
Yeah. Because when you recognize that, if it really is a spiritual battle, which so much can be a spiritual battle, you start to deal with God's weapons that are wonderful weapons of strategic warfare. And it's not just like, I pray it away, but it's actually like getting in relationship, talking to people, getting help, getting different levels of help, recognizing, I mean, a lot of independent business leaders, they'll power their way through something for so long that has warfare on it. And they could have got help 10 steps ago. And now they're exhausted. They're burnt out. They don't have any energy for anything they're doing at all. And they're like, how did I get here? And I'm like, you kind of skipped over some parts where God could have sent his angel armies. He could have sent 10,000 angel armies to your side, which means in a practical sense, he could have sent a business contract to your side that he orchestrated, but you weren't leaning on him. You were leaning on your own understanding. And so there is that thing where we have to be dependent on God, and we have to recognize there's a spiritual realm. And I think, you know, one of my big stories of that is we were working, and it wasn't a person. It wasn't even a human that was like doing something towards us. We were trying to publish my second book, and it was the Keys Evans Economy. And just to get the book to the publisher, there was so much like of a battle to, we had to end up physically sending it to him, because digitally it wouldn't work. No email could work. We had Hotmail at the time and all these other emails. We couldn't send it to him. So we went to Kinko's, and all their printers broke when we walked in the door. We couldn't get it like printed out from the computer into Kinko's. My printers at home broke, so that's why we went to Kinko's. Then by the time we sent them a file, we sent them a digital file so they could print it, and they tried to print it in their printer, literally had smoke coming out of it. And just this thing happened. So for 3 weeks, now that's an extreme form, it almost feels exaggerated, of warfare, but there's times you go through something where it's like, if the enemy can distract, delay, confuse, frustrate, then he's going to go for it. But where most warfare happens is the emotional energy between human interaction. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's hard, because there's people you love or people who are going through things. And it almost feels like when somebody has a hormonal or chemical imbalance operating towards you that aren't normally like that. And all of a sudden they have this added energy on them. And you're like, what is happening? And when you feel that, you should recognize there's oppression here. There's something that's happened. And that doesn't mean the person's bad, but it means this interaction needs prayer. And I need to like evaluate this differently. And I think most of us don't go there because we power through, because we're trying to, you know, I don't know. It's just, but what do you think?
Well, here's what I think. I love that story, because that was, I mean, I hope you don't get upset, but Keys to Heaven's Economy was my favorite book you've ever written. Mm. I just love that book. And And so I could see how there'd be so much spiritual battle. I mean, when I was writing a book, I had the same thing where I had a physical problem. All of a sudden I had to have surgery. And yeah. After I had surgery, then I got an infection and then my Achilles tendon ruptured. Like, really?
Yeah.
It took me a while to figure it out, but then I was thinking, well, this must be going to be a good resource or a good project and I'm not going to let the enemy win.
Yeah.
But I think we're all waiting through for our breakthrough. And you wrote a beautiful book on breakthrough that if our listeners and viewers have not read that, you've got to read this Breakthrough by Sean Bowles.
I didn't even bring it up, but it is just, it's prayers and prophecy. So it helps you have prayers about getting out of this kind of stuff and like focusing on scripture. I love that book because I do feel like there's that place of scripture that we have to go to and just like understand that Israel went through every spiritual battle you could even imagine.
And well, so like, looking at scripture. My favorite scripture around this is Ecclesiastes 3:1-9, and it's the seasons and it's a time for everything. And when you read this scripture, it's a time to weep, a time to have joy, a time to kill, a time to destroy, all these different times, these seasons that we're in. And when we recognize that we're waiting through our breakthrough and that we're in a spiritual battle, we recognize that we're in a season that it's not always going to be like this.
Well, I'll say this one last story, which is one time I just felt prompted to text a pretty well-known minister who I'd barely come in contact with. And I texted, hey, I just saw these weapons forming against you, but they were all broken at your feet right now and they won't prosper. And the person was with their spouse and said, we're weeping right now because we're walking. We're on a break praying because the warfare has been so intense and the weapons have fully formed and we're praying. And I just told my spouse, I'm going to give up. I'm just going to disappear and just be hidden. It's not worth it anymore to have this level of battle. It's not, I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore with these weapons that are threatening me all the time. And then I read your text and we just broke and we both are weeping in the park right now and we're walking in. And I remember just thinking like, and then they had a turnaround. So it wasn't just the text, but they had a massive turnaround. We've become friends because of God used me at the right time, at the right space.
Yeah.
But what I love to tell people, and if you're listening, you need to hear this. Remember, this is so simple. If there's a war, it's because of on the other end of the war, there's such an incredible dynamic piece of God that's going to manifest in your life. That's so worth it that you'll forget about the warfare. And you're not supposed to live warfare minded. And the war's not all the time. The majority of your life should be in the blessing or the connection to God, not the disconnect of warfare. And so if you're in a prolonged season of warfare, remember that on the other end is going to be a prolonged season of blessing.
I love that. I'm taking that for me. I think we should all take that. It gives us courage. Well, Sean, do we have time for a question for the week?
We got to. Are you kidding? We have some great questions from you who've been submitting your questions. Make sure to go to bowlsministries.com and click on ask a question or ask a question in one of our YouTube videos. And we're categorizing those and bringing them into the show.
Okay. Well, let me read this to you. All right. How do we properly discern the timing for a prophetic word for our career? Do you know anything about the prophetic? I don't know.
I don't know anything about it. I'm just kidding. No, I love that. When God gives you an assignment and he gives you like an unction or let's say a calling or a commission or a purpose, he builds in it your ability to be the person who manages the timing of it with him. Mm-hmm. And so the good thing is you don't have to look for permission from somebody else, really. If you're not in immorality or gross, terrible sin that can get you put in jail, you're in charge. You don't need a pastor to lead your calling or your career. You need the pastor to spiritually feed you and help provide an atmosphere of nurturing. And so you don't want to get codependent with somebody else and trying to get them to discern for you, because you are going to ultimately, every once in a while, God will use someone else to speak timing. But the majority of the time, he's put time capsules of his heart inside of you, and you'll know. Sometimes it's by instinct and intuition. Sometimes it's just because things align, so it's obvious that it's timing. Sometimes he puts a desire to do something that's not even, doesn't feel ready in the natural, but you just know like it's go time. And sometimes you just are hungry enough to where you can't not do it. And so these are all indicators, and there's many more indicators, but these are indicators that God who's put it in you is giving you timing that you got to honor. And if you're out of sync with your timing, there's going to be a lot of indicators that show you that. And I think it's good that we're talking about warfare at the same time, because sometimes when you're out of the timing of God, you can feel like I'm in warfare, but it's actually because you're not in step, or you're striving, you're trying to make something happen in your own strength. And you have to recognize that, because sometimes you have to pull back and go, maybe this wasn't the right project, or maybe this wasn't the right thing, or the timing of it was off. And that's very helpful. And I've done that. I've had some of those mistakes that have cost money and time and energy, but you learn every time.
Yeah. And I would, the only thing I would add to that is, you know, the, how do we properly discern? It's like, make sure that you have people around you that you're in relationship with, that you trust.
Absolutely.
That you can go on the journey with. And we, you know, I've been the recipient of prophetic words and wondered timing and had people around me that could help me to discern it. So what a great question. Well, Sean, it's time for our main course, and we have an incredible guest on the show today. Would you let us know who it is?
Yeah, it's Rebecca Contreras. And unlike most successful entrepreneurs, Rebecca was born into poverty to a drug-addicted mother who then abandoned Rebecca when she was only 5 years old. But God rescued her from being a lost girl, brought her to advise a sitting U.S. president, which was President Bush, in the White House, and helped her to found and lead this incredibly thriving company. Rebecca is successful in her entrepreneurship and a business leader whose company, Avant Garde, is now over 120 strong employees, and is built on godly principles that help both her clients and her employees thrive. I love that. So she's won awards. She's has a nonprofit. She's done so many things. But we get to hear her story. And I love when you hear a story like Rebecca's, because you can see yourself in the story, whether you have the similar story as her or not, how God raises us up for things that we're not really qualified for, because he qualifies us, because he dreamed of it before it happens. Are you ready to take your spiritual growth journey even more seriously, all while being involved in an active and engaged community online? Well, we have classes, activation groups, online Discord community, and a 12-month spiritual growth discipleship accelerator that I get to lead. They're going to help you embrace subjects like hearing God's voice, being empowered every day by the real gifts of the Holy Spirit, and developing your spiritual disciplines in a way that's both practical and very practiced. And I've invited expert ministers in all kinds of subjects alongside myself to teach you for 4 weeks classes each month. And if the subject that they're teaching each month isn't effective or is not relevant to the phase of your spiritual growth, we also take past classes and have our pastoral team facilitate totally different subjects for 4 weeks, so you have multiple class options on subjects that matter to you. I can't wait to spend 2 accelerator hours a month with you, as I get to activate you, pour into you, and mentor you in practicing hearing God's voice. By the end of these 12 months together, I know you're going to have confidence in your own ability to trust God and yourself and actually speak to you. Come join us in Spiritual Growth Academy. It's going to be one of the greatest decisions you've ever made.
Well, welcome back. We are here with Rebecca Contreras. Rebecca, so good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean and Bob. I'm thrilled. I follow you, know what you do for the kingdom, and I'm thrilled to be a part of your show today.
Well, I mean, I'm excited because you're exactly the type of person we want on the show, because your story has God interwoven all through it, and just your relationship with them. And I'm looking at your book cover, Lost Girl, and it says, from the hood to the White House to millionaire entrepreneur. And I think it's like, gives so much hope for people who are going, in a day like 2024, what can God do? Well, let's go back into your story some though. And let's talk about, because I was reading just some of your notes and going, man, she was in the White House with Bush. You've just been doing so many different things, but you're also a mom and a wife, all of these things. Take us somewhere on the journey that kind of a starting point where God and your faith really defined your life and where it's at today.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, my story is so vast, and, you know, I'm only 55, but I feel like I've lived 100 years. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about God and how he does things is he can be the start of our journey, but he isn't always the start of our journey, right? For me, he wasn't the start of my journey. It started very tragically with a lot of trauma. You know, a mom of addiction, and I'm one of 4 children. None of us knew our dads. And we all used to joke with my mom, she just needed Asian to complete the circle of diversity, because we had an African-American in our family. My brother's Mexican, I'm Yugoslavian white. And, you know, mom had a lot of issues, Sean, a lot of addiction. And we grew up without fathers, without an active mother, and a mother with mental illness and addiction. She loved Jesus, but, you know, was just sick. And there are a lot of sick people out there right now that aren't getting the help that they need. And I love to tell our story because it's a story of hope, and it's a story of redemption, but it's also a story of overcoming. And I had an encounter with Jesus after growing up in such high level of dysfunction, trauma, abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse. But I encountered Jesus at age 19 when I was spiraling out of control, lost myself. That's why my book is called Lost Girl, because I once was a lost girl. And I had followed down the trail of my mother's addiction and, you know, did not know my father, ended up pregnant out of wedlock by a baby daddy drug dealer in Austin, one of the biggest ones at the time. And, you know, just really was lost. I didn't know my identity. I didn't know who I was and who I was created to be. I didn't know that in my mother's womb, God formed me and he knew who I was. Until I got saved and had an encounter with Jesus and read that scripture, it was illuminating for me, because for the first time in my life, I knew that I was not a mistake. I was born out of a bet. My mother was a dancer in a club in Juarez, Mexico, and we grew up right on the border there in El Paso. And, you know, I was a one night stand. So I always thought I was a mistake, Sean and Bob, until I read that scripture and I began my path where God encountered me and pulled me out of the gutter at a time when I needed him the most and had nothing, didn't even have two pennies to rub together. I was, you know, a single mom on welfare, struggling with addiction and just lost. So God found me in the gutter.
Thank God he found you. Thank God,
because there's a lot of people like that.
Exactly. And I think of how many people are out there right now, coming across the border right now, people who are going through just extreme poverty here in America and all over the world, who people listen all over the world to the show. And they look at someone like you and they hear the story and they're like, could that happen to me? If one encounter with Jesus, could it change me this much to where I could have a different alternative? So I love your story. I love the beginning, the origin story. I know Bob has a question for you.
So you get taken out of the gutter, Rebecca, and you start in the workforce and you end up in the White House. Can you tell us the in-between story a little bit from the gutter to the White House? Can you tell us a little bit about an in-between story and what happened in your mind, spirit, and soul when you realized that your identity truly was that you're a loved daughter of God?
Well, Bob, thank you for that question. You know, I was a product of my environment, my bad relationships, my bad choices, my bad community. And when I encountered Jesus, I joined a little bitty inner city church in Austin. My mom had moved us from El Paso to Austin, and I met a youth pastor and his wife there who were just transformational in my life. Mm-hmm. David and Lupita, I talk about them in my book. And I also met my husband who was working with the youth pastor. He was an assistant youth pastor doing inner city outreach to the gangs in East Austin, where I grew up and where I lived. And so, you know, at age 19, I was 19, he was 29, and he was working in the community. And, you know, you never know who you're going to meet or what sort of life-altering impact they're going to make in your life. And I met many people along the way that believed and invested in me. At the time, I wanted to get off of welfare. We lived in abject poverty my whole life. So I enrolled in a welfare to work program, and I landed a job as a temp trying to get off of welfare, working for a woman by the name of Ann Richards. Ann is an iconic woman here in Texas and was iconic. She was the second woman governor of the state of Texas. And I worked for her as a receptionist and trying to get off of welfare in that program that was sponsored at the time by the state of Texas. And I landed a job in her front office. And it was the first time I ever saw a woman in power, gentlemen. The first time that I saw potential, because for me, a Latina in the inner city growing up by the border, it wasn't possible for me. I didn't see the line of sight for that image until I worked for Ann. And then my next boss was Kay Billy Hutchison, another woman in power. And it was under Kay's leadership. She became the U.S. Senator. She started as the state treasurer. It was under Kay's leadership that God brought a godly woman alongside me who mentored me, invested in me, sent me back to school, and just believed in me when I didn't believe in myself.
I mean, that's so huge. And I think of like the story of where these God brought the right people at the right time and just brought them to inject life into you. But also, it sounds like they went above and beyond. Were they believers, just out of curiosity?
Well, actually, Donna was. She still is. She's an ordained minister today. And, you know, Donna, I was her state employee. I was her assistant. But she saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. And she said, Rebecca, she said something to me one day. I was having dinner with her in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. And I said, Donna, what did you see in me back then? She said, Rebecca, you were hungry. You were so hungry and eager, and you were like a sponge, and you were pliable, right? So oftentimes we talk about that, you know, the importance of being pliable and shapeable. And of course, God is the author of molding humankind into his image and what he wants to do with our life if we'd let him, if we're pliable and we're flexible and we really change. So Donna really was my first mentor, and my second mentor was a man by the name of Clay, who worked for President Bush, Governor Bush at the time. And Clay and the president were best friends from Yale and Andover. And Clay was an MIT Yale grad, brilliant man, who really saw my potential and invested in me early on in my career. Wow. And taught me everything I know. He's the one that brought me to the White House when I joined the president's team. And Clay is the reason I got close to President Bush, because he would bring me into the meetings where Bush was at. Bush got to see me in action. I got to be known as a results-driven manager. Then I became a results-driven leader. You know, I showed myself at a time where in confidence, going through the scriptures, I tell a story in the Oval Office, my first time in the Oval Office, where I just became overwhelmed. I don't have a degree. I have a GED and a lot of educational training, but no formal degree. Wow. But I tell a story in the book about that first encounter in the Oval with President Bush, and just the spiritual warfare that was going on in my soul and my mind and my spirit, and how God got me through that. But you know, worked hard and got around the right people, but also really worked hard to prove myself, Sean and Bob, to really prove that I could do the job and I was just as good as anybody else with a formal education.
Wow. I love the piece of that you said, where people saw something in you that you didn't know was there. And I've had that happen in my life, where people saw something in me that I didn't know was there. And it is very humbling when God illuminates you. And I see your humility, and your humility in even in what your new company is doing now, is that you really want to put the client first. And I think coming from the background that you did come from sets you up in a humble place. Because when we come from low and you move into the place that you're at now, it really is a head scratching. I'm sure nobody's more surprised than you at what God has done.
Listen, I pinch myself every day when I think about the greatness of what God has done in my life. And I don't take it for granted. I know where I came from, and I know I don't deserve any of it but for the grace and the blood of Jesus. Yeah. But I do know one thing. I do know God had a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11 has lived true throughout my entire journey. And I've seen his handprint. Sometimes his thumbprint, because he's not so near, but other times his footprint, his handprint, and I've seen him open doors for me that nobody can open. I liken it to the story of Esther and Joseph in the Bible, where you have two surrendered souls that just were trying to follow God, but didn't really know where they were going until God opened those doors for them. And they stayed the course with resolve, with faith, with perseverance, and all the things that we're taught through the scripture. So my life is a miracle, guys, a miracle of God. And I'm so grateful every day
for it. We can feel it. It's in the DNA of this conversation. And I so love that. And I feel like we should all feel that way. Even if we didn't have the origin story you have, we should all feel, because when we're partnering in our faith and we really understand who we are in God, we get different opportunities, and we get that hunger. We want to be moldable. We see him as a master potter. So I love your story so much, because it has in it, threaded all through it, how we should be in our identity. And I think it's so beautiful that you speak about a lot of things now, but you help people to become, I think, the version of themselves they're supposed to be. But talk about your company, because you've been building your company, and you have a certain culture of your company, and you've had to make some really hard decisions out of this kingdom value at times. And this is what sets, really, to me, Christian business owners apart, or business leadership apart, because we're not making decisions based on just what's good for finances and the bottom line. We're also looking at our employees, the company, our integrity, the Ten Commandments, like all these things. Talk about some of the decisions you've had to make where it was like almost counterintuitive to how the world makes decisions.
Well, so I sort of reinvented myself a fifth time when I became an entrepreneur. I left a really good woodworking job in government and decided I could take my skill sets and use them to benefit me financially so that we could do our ministry work here in Austin through our nonprofit. And one of us had to, you know, go make money to do that. My husband at the time had started a nonprofit, and so I started my company. But you know what was important, the most important thing for me in building and starting and then building a company was my people. Yeah. We have sort of a DNA at Avant-Garde where we love our people. And, you know, I recently did a piece in Texas CEO called As a CEO Leading with Love. Well, what does that look like? What is leading with love with? It sounds a little squishy. It sounds a little non-marketplace, but, you know, John Maxwell is probably the most signature, you know, person I've learned from in his teachings around leading and loving people and really being present as a leader in humility. And, you know, our organizational chart is it's sort of inverted. You know, there is no hierarchy and our people know the value. We recently did a survey where 90% of our people, we have 120 employees across 9 states now. Wow. And 90% of our people said they know that AG, the Avant-Garde team and the leadership team in particular, my team, cares about them. And, you know, people want to know that you care before they perform, Sean. They want to know that there's value in what they're doing, especially opposed to what we just went through, you know, several years back where, you know, literally the entire country was shut down. People lost their lives. Absolutely. There was so much sort of reinvention. I think Gallup did a survey, 60% of people are reinventing themselves post that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. And people want to know that they work for somebody that cares. Certainly they want to apply their missional component, right? They want to make a good career, make good money. But at the end of the day, what keeps people at Avant-Garde is the fact that we deeply care about them and we do right by our values. And that means sometimes turning business away if it's not a value-driven client who doesn't appreciate our values.
Wow.
I'm just taken by your discussion of culture and caring about people. And I've been in business for 47 years and built a business that, you know, we care about people and our values are important. One of our values is that the quality of life for our employees would be raised. And I can tell that you have the same value. Talk to us about a story in particular where you turned away a large piece of business because of values and then what God did after that.
Well, it's interesting. We have several instances, but the one most recent one that comes to mind that was pretty sizable is we had a client for almost 7 years. And they were pretty influential client, doing a lot of what I call special White House initiative work. And they were out in one of the agencies. And, you know, my people, there were 15 people on that contract. And we had had them for a lot of years, but the leadership changed over and they brought in this girl, this lady who was just a bullet in a china shop and was just horribly treating our people. I mean, manager, she thinks she knows everything. You can't tell her anything. You know, she's just bulldozing through people. And of course, our people are working virtually because for the most part, the government is still very virtual. And, you know, I have people that are taking extended sick leave. They're not coming back to work. They're resigning. And I said, something's wrong here. And so after a lot of investigation with our project manager, she just said, look, Rebecca, you know, our people don't want to work for this client anymore. And we're going to lose. We're going to lose. And, you know, it's not only about losing the people that you care about to other employers because they're tired, but it's more importantly about living your values. And we had just done our Avant-Garde survey where we talked about culture and leadership. And I stepped on a Zoom and met with the entire team. And it was just like they were just singing their tune around what was going on and said, you know, they're mistreating us. You know, they're constantly micromanaging. They're, you know, in some cases calling us names and just awful stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I got on a Zoom the very next day with the client and the procurement officer and the director. And I basically said, look, this is a problem. And they were not owning any of it.
Yeah.
And at the end of that Zoom, I pivoted very quickly. I had been praying about it already the last, you know, couple of days and weeks. And I said to them, I said, I really appreciate this almost 7 year business, but I'm not sure we're the right client for you. And you could just see their eyes. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. No, I don't think I'm going to take the next option period, but I appreciate, you know, the opportunity to serve. I'll make sure all my team gets, you know, rolled off. You will not keep not one employee, because they were thinking, you know, they could end the contract and then hire another vendor and repay payroll people. And I had to say, nobody wants to work for you.
Yeah.
More importantly, they're my employees. They're not your employees. Yeah. So we repurposed everybody. Everybody got their job saved with the exception of one person. And we're working to find a place for her. But you know what? That was over $1 million in business. Over a 7-year period, that's $7 million in work. But you know what, guys? Within months, God restored that revenue, and we won a new contract at $1.5 million in business.
Yes.
So it's like it didn't even—it's like it didn't even matter that we lost that work. Was it painful? Was it a tough decision? Was it a stake in the ground type strategy? Yes, but God honors faithfulness and also doing the right thing when it may not make financially good sense.
Well, I would want to be more faithful and loyal to work for you in that context. I'm sure the employees were like, okay, we feel safe. This is where, I mean, it's going to create like a long-term effect where it's hard for them to leave now because they're like, she'll fight for us. She has our back. Did you have any of that kind of sentiment?
I did. The project manager, just story after story. And I had two of the employees email me directly and say, you know, we know now that you live your values. There are so many CEOs that will talk about culture. We'll do, you know, blogs on culture, but we know that you care about us and you do live your values, Ms. Contreras, and thanking me for it. And, you know, we see that. I have story after story after story. Now, is it easy? No, it's not easy. Yeah. Is it sometimes do you take a step back before then you move forward? Sometimes you lose big. But I love it when we can live our values. And that is how I have all my project managers. They know they're in sync. They know the strategy and they know where the line of sight is. So they know when it gets off track, they know to come to me to say, hey, we have this issue we need your attention on. And I'm front and center.
It's such a beautiful story. And I think this is where the God of miracles comes to our practical lives, because 98.5% of us work in the marketplace. We work outside of the organized church. And so God is doing miracles all the time like this. And I just am so happy to hear, you know, this victory, doing the right thing. And I know the struggle of turning away business. In my business, we win 10% of the jobs that we go after. So I'm used to losing 90% of the time. but there's certain times when something like this happens and you have to make a stand for your culture and your values and your people. And Rebecca, this is such a beautiful story of that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Well, in our final couple minutes too, Rebecca, I would love for you to share how you made the pivot then from, you know, White House to your own business. And now you're a public speaker, you're an author. Tell us about this side of your journey and how people can get a hold of you.
Well, so I'm actually straddling all three right now. So, yes, I'm walking in that high capacity power that God says he can infuse us with when we do it his way. My husband and I have a nonprofit called Launchpad, and we invest, I have 12 girls, inner city girls that we're scholarshiping and mentoring through Girls of Legacy here in Austin. And I'll be with them tomorrow. They're all home for spring break and we're giving back. And my husband has served over a couple thousand inner city kids through his work in the nonprofit for 10 years. And so we do that. We have, of course, our marriage, our grandkids. We just got back last night from spring break, 10 of us, grandkids, kids, you know.
Congratulations.
Partners. And then I have the company that's growing and scaling this year. It will be one of our best years yet in growth. And we're, with Lost Girl, I am on the road and doing a lot of thought leadership. And RebeccaContreras.com is the best way to connect the Lost Girl brand and our story, and also Girls of Legacy. And I'm also on Instagram at Rebecca Ann Contreras. I just, you know, Sean and Bob, I love sharing the story because it gives people hope,
but
it also provides a whole realm of possibility for those that are stuck, right? So maybe it's not drugs, maybe it's not single parent, maybe it's not abuse, but maybe it's a dead end job. Maybe it's not knowing what your purpose is, but I really believe that when I share the God story of what he's given me, it provides opportunities for people to know that they are not forgotten, that they matter, and that God has the opportunity. He's no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he can do for anybody. He might not take you down the same journey, but there's always starting afresh and anew if we do it God's way. And I just would love to connect with your listeners. And I do hope they get Lost Girl. There's a lot of nitty gritty details in the book. It's a little raw and real, which it was on purposely written that way. But I do share a lot of the strategies and pathway that I took to get out of the situation I was in. And I do thank you for having me on your show. And I love your ministry, love your heart, and really appreciate what you and Bob are doing to really encourage the next generation. At some point, we need a culture shift in America. And I love the Absolutely. Fact that you are putting yourself out there and really sticking true to your values in this culture in this season.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's you what you shared here, I know you're sharing your platform everywhere. It's so real and it's so needed right now as well. So we're so glad to have you. And I'm going to encourage all of you who are viewing and listening, make sure to look up her website, get the book. We'll have the information to link to this podcast and video. I want to also encourage you to follow us on social media by clicking on either Bob's Instagram, Bob Haston, Sean Bowles, or go to our YouTube channel, our brand new YouTube channel for Exploring the Marketplace, where we can have a conversation with you there. And we'll see you next time on Exploring the Marketplace.
Thanks so much for listening to Exploring the Marketplace, where we have weekly episodes to keep your work and life full of courage and hope. If you enjoyed our question of the week, come and be a part of by asking your question at bowlesministries.com or in the comments, where we might include it in a future episode.
Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and be a part of the conversation by following us on our Exploring the Marketplace YouTube channel or at our socials at Sean Bowles or at Bob Haston on most social media platforms. Visit us at bowlesministries.com, where you can find our book, Wired to Hear, when you're looking for what God has to say about your career, influence, or entrepreneurship.
We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.